Amen. Well, good morning. Welcome. We are in again in a study of finding this superabundant life. I know that sounds like money, but it's not all about money. It's about some other things that are even bigger than that. Superabundant life is a passage of scripture you'll see up there on the screen that I put up last time. We're looking at these ideas, and that last time we had up here this scripture in John 10:10 that a lot of people know, are familiar with. The thief comes only to kill, to kill and destroy. Why did he come? Why did the good shepherd come? I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. That's the NIV, have it to the full. And the next line up here explains that that word full can also mean abundant life or superabundant. Sometimes the Greek language puts that little prefix on some words that, supercharges it, makes it bigger. And so it's in this comment here, superabundantly is a good way to translate it. What kind of life did he come to bring us? Better than this world. What kind of life did he come to bring us? A life that is supercharged, a life that is beyond what this world can give. Jesus said, we just read it, Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not the way the world gives peace. World's peace is temporary, right? But not his. So superabundant life is ours. We got to look at some issues here on the next slide. How does the Holy Spirit help us? How does the Holy Spirit help us live abundantly, this abundant life we're talking about? For many believers, the Holy Spirit is someone. He's not a thing, he's a one, someone we don't quite understand. And we know that we're supposed to have influences from God, not from the world. And we know that the Word of God is inspired, that the Holy Spirit wrote it. And we know that the Spirit is supposed to do something in my life. But you look at a lot of churches around that do things that you say, well, that doesn't look like the Holy Spirit. They claim it is, but it doesn't look like that. I was at a meeting one time. Community Prayer Partners is a group I'm familiar with. I mean, I've been involved in that group for over 20 years, praying for the community. And we started off with preachers, staff people, laymen, anybody wanted to come. But it was understood that we're coming together and we're just praying. We all believe in Jesus. We all believe he's raised from the dead. We all believe he's coming back one day, that he paid for the sins of the world, and want to get the message out. We all believe the same thing. And we can pray together in unity about the community. And so we had a big event one time. A lot of the preachers got to get up in front of a big crowd. Might have been, we have in the past done breakfast, National Day of Prayer breakfast, it may have been at that, but we all got up, said various things. And I remember a preacher from one of our local Assembly of God, I think it was, and he said, he got up and he was standing next to me, and he kind of pointed at me, and he said, well, you know my background, and what he meant was they really teach a lot about the Holy Spirit. But he said, this is the first Church of Christ preacher I ever prayed for. He said, I see after being in this group that the Spirit works in everybody. Works in every group. Does he work in every group? He works wherever he is allowed to work, wherever he's welcome, wherever the Spirit's welcome, he works. He works. So whatever your preconceived ideas are about the Holy Spirit, just listen to what the Bible says. That's your safe place, isn't it? You may listen to people and what they say, but the safe place is listen to what the Bible says. Whatever the Bible says about how, we're looking at how does the Holy Spirit help me to be a Christian? Without the Spirit's work, you become dry, you become legalistic, you become rule and law oriented, you become angry with people, you become the person that's unloving, and you know, you have your good days and bad days, but without the work of the Spirit is here. What's his name? What's the title given to him in the Bible? Holy Spirit. So what's he here to do? Help me be crazy? Help me to be worldly. Help me to be what? Holy. Well, a lot of Christians don't know what holy means. What does that mean? It means I am selected and I'm separated out by God for God. I'm His. And I do His will and I do what He calls me to do. He separated me out for His purpose. Holy. And the Holy Spirit helps us do that. How does the Spirit help us in this abundant life we're talking about? Well, the first thing on you'll see on there is He's the Spirit of adoption. The Spirit of adoption. Well, what does that mean? Jesus said, I will not leave you as orphans. We'll see that scripture in a minute. He said, I will not leave you as orphans, but I'll come to you. I'm not going to leave you. Well, He was leaving then, going to the cross, and He was going to be in the grave, and then He was going to come back and be raised and meet with them 40 days in His resurrected body. And you read about that in the book of Acts, first part of Acts. And so He said, I'm going away, but I'm coming back, and I won't leave you as orphans. I'll set something up so that there will be a replacement for me. There will be a replacement on the scene. The Holy Spirit is on the earth. He's not in heaven. Where is He? Here. Where is He? In Christians. He's in the church. He's here. Jesus said, I'll go away, but I won't leave you alone as orphans. I'll come back to you. But I'm going to send somebody. I'm going to pray the Father. He'll send you His Spirit. Well, what's He supposed to do? How is He supposed to help us? He's the Spirit of adoption. We're going to run through some scriptures here, and you may want to take notes because each one, at least write down the references. You go look those up. You can go look them up for yourself, but I won't have time to teach a whole class on each one because we'll run out of time. So I may go kind of quickly through this. So don't fall asleep. Don't fall asleep, you'll miss the bus. You'll wake up and say, what was He talking about? So, not more importantly, what was God talking about? What I'm talking about doesn't matter. What He's talking about, that matters, doesn't it? That really matters. This slide, the next one is John 14, verse 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. John 14, verse 18. Which I just talked to you about. The next slide is Romans 8, verse 15. Did Jesus say, we'll not be like orphans? What's an orphan like? They don't have guidance. They don't have, it's a sad, sad story, but many places in the world in the past anyway, orphans during wartime or during bad famines, they'd live on the streets. And nobody would be able to adopt them. I mean, everybody was scattering, getting out of the war. They'd die right there on the street. We're not that way, are we? We're not abandoned by God. We're not abandoned by Jesus. We're not orphans. He said, I'll not leave you there. I'm not going to leave you. When I leave you, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. Romans 8, 15. You have not received a spirit of slavery, a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption. Have we received the spirit of adoption? This is the Lexham Bible I'm reading from on just this particular one because I like the way it reads. But look at that again. You have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again. You used to live in fear. You used to be a slave. You used to be a slave to the devil. You used to be in his camp. You used to be used by him. And now you've been set free from that. And he says, you have not received, this is Romans 8:15, where Paul's writing, you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received what? The spirit of adoption. Or some versions have sonship, which is the same idea. I'm in the family. You're in the royal family. You've been adopted. You've been brought in, and the Holy Spirit is part of that. He's called the Spirit of adoption that brought you in by Him, by the Spirit of adoption. We cry what? Father, or Abba, is an Aramaic word for father. Abba, father. Both words mean father. I'm not an orphan. I have a daddy. I have a father. Now, my father on the earth is gone now, and he was a great father. But I have the father. You have the father. I don't care if you were not wanted as a child, if you were just kicked out, if you just... I've seen it before. I've seen people walking up and down this highway out here that obviously are young people carrying their baggage. They've been kicked out of the house or they decided to leave. Maybe they don't have good fathers. We have a Father. And this says the Spirit is the Spirit of adoption, and by Him we do what? Because of the Spirit, because of the Holy Spirit in you, you can call God your Father and you cry out, Father. Jesus said, pray this way. What? Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Is He your Father? The Spirit of God helps you understand that. The Spirit of God helps you understand that. The Spirit of God ministers to you. You say, but I don't feel anything. It's not about your feelings. Well, I don't understand that. It's not about your understanding. It's about things going on in you that are invisible to the human eye. Things going on in you that your family may not recognize other than to say, well, you seem to be happy now. That work of the Holy Spirit, you may not even know what He's doing, but He's doing things, and He's doing things in you, and He's maturing you, and He's causing, we'll see more about that in a minute. He's causing you to grow. The big problem, as a preacher, I can tell you, after many years, the real problem in the church is Christians don't know how to be Christians. Many of them do not. And they're frustrated. They're frustrated. They're frustrated that I can't live up to what I see in the Bible. I can't live up to, I remember a Bible class I was in as a teenager. And the teacher was a pretty good teacher, and a class of probably all boys, I think it was 7 or 8 of us in there, and the teacher kept talking about how we better live right, and better live right for Jesus, and we needed to live right, and He's our example, and we need to be what He is, and we need to be like Jesus. And finally one kid said, well, wasn't Jesus perfect? The teacher said, well, yeah. And this kid spoke for all of us. He said, how can I be perfect? We're frustrated. We can't keep it together sometimes. And we know, we get so worried sometimes about, I'm supposed to be doing this, but I don't even like to do that. But God said, I'm supposed to be doing that. And I know I'm supposed to be doing this over here, but I just can't make myself do it, and I don't want to do it. And we get frustrated. We don't know how to be disciples. That's because we're trying to do it in our own strength. I'm trying to be a good person here. I'm trying to be a good person here, so don't anybody poke me, because the other me might come out. You know, it's like I'm trying to hold it in. I heard a preacher talking one time about some lady came out. He's a well-known TV preacher. Some lady came out on his property harassing him and his wife. She kept hollering about, I'm going to take your husband from you, and just all kind of crazy stuff. He said, I went outside, and I got kind of aggressive with her. Said she ran off because I was acting kind of crazy. And he looked at his church and said, some of y'all might notice, but I'm not quite sanctified yet. So sometimes we're holding it in, right? And we're trying to do, and it's not fun to go to church because then everybody's looking at me and I'm not doing right. They're not doing right either. And so without the Holy Spirit, you'll drive yourself nutty. What does a church look like where the Holy Spirit is not allowed to work? Well, best I can tell, they look dead. They look formal, formalistic. They look like we're trying hard to keep the rules here, but so we pick a few little ones and keep those and claim we're doing the whole thing. You know, what does it look like? But if the Spirit is there, what does it look like? Love. What does a church look like full of the Spirit? Love and joy and peace and patience. We'll say more about that later. Patience. You see that here, don't you? You see it here. I mean, we have it here. We're not there yet, but God's really working on us. The Spirit's working on us. He's helping us. So he says here that the Spirit of adoption. Well, if you're adopted, that means you got a new father now. You're adopted and you got a father now. And you got a father now who's the best one. He's God Himself, the Father Himself, and you got Him. So what are you crying out? Well, that's your prayer life, right? Father, Abba, You can call him Abba. What's Abba? In Aramaic, it's daddy. Max Lucado, many years ago, in a book, or I saw an interview, I think it was, where he had been to the Holy Land over there, and they had visited, and he said, I'm taking my daughter's walking with, little daughter's walking with him, and we're going down one of the main streets where all the tourists go, and she said, she pulled on him, and she said, Daddy, Daddy, did you hear that? Did you hear that? And he said, what? That little girl up there's running to catch up with this man, and she kept saying, Abba, Abba, Abba. It's they call it diminutive, it's the common word in their language for daddy. He's your father. But I don't deserve that. No, you don't. It's called mercy, right? I don't know. I feel uncomfortable. When I was growing up, I knew a couple of ladies in the church that came from a formal background. And a couple of these ladies, they wouldn't call their husband by his name. They'd call him Mr. Smith. Mr. Smith, you know. Does God want you to say, oh, righteous Father, I'm only a worm here and I don't deserve anything? No. What does this say? What does the Holy Spirit in you say? Abba, Father. Wow. He's your dad. He's your father. Are you a Christian? Are you a believer? Have you accepted Christ? Have you decided He's your Lord? Been baptized into Christ? He's your father. So Jesus said, it's about adoption. It's about not leaving you like an orphan. The devil will orphan you. The devil doesn't want you except to destroy you. He's not, the devil's not, doesn't care about you. But the Father in heaven says He does. We better move on. What's the next one? I'm showing you ways that the Spirit helps us. Does He help you understand God as your loving Father? He does. The next one is John 14:16, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate or counselor to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of what? Truth. Is He going to help us learn the truth? Well, I can't learn the Bible. I try to read it and I don't understand it. Well, He'll help you if you ask. I've had that. I've done that sometimes. I start reading. I read the Gospel of Mark not too long ago, and I opened it up and started reading. I said, Father, I want Your Spirit to help me understand this. Show me things in here that I need to know that I've never seen before. And it's amazing how the Bible opens up to you. You don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be teaching in a theological school to understand the Bible. You ask God to help you understand, and He will. It's just said that right there, right? He will do what? Help you with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He will. This advocate or counselor will be with, He is with us, be with us forever, the Spirit of truth. Then the next slide says this, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said. Jesus talking to the disciples. We are disciples, right? The advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send. Now, He's here now, isn't He? Spirit's here now, but this is before the cross. So the Spirit didn't come till Jesus ascended back to the Father and taught His disciples a little more in His resurrected body. And the Spirit didn't really come to earth to take up residence on the earth till Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. But when Jesus said this, He hadn't come yet, but He's telling them He will. He'll come. I'll send Him, the Father will send Him in Jesus' name, and He'll teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. I can't ever remember anything. I read the Bible and I get through and I can't remember what I just read. I read a paragraph and I look at it and I think, I don't even know what that said. Ask for help. What's He supposed to do? Teach us how many things? Anything you need to know. Has He got it? Has He got the answer? I hear people a lot say, well, lost my car keys and I prayed and I found my car keys. And some people laugh that off. Does God care if you lose your car keys? I think He does. He'll help you. That's just so minor. It's just the world's full of poor people and the world's full of lost people. Why would God bother with my car keys? because he's your daddy and he cares. Can God multitask? Oh, he can. He can see after everybody at the same time. So don't worry about taking I'm taking time away from him. No, he's not in time. He's beyond time and space because he created time and space. Oh, he can help you with anything. He'll teach you all things and remind you of everything Jesus has said. Do you need help remembering what Jesus has said? If you're trying to share the gospel with somebody and you say, well, I don't know what to say. Well, just start out very simply with what God did for you, and you'll be surprised. Scriptures will start popping into your head, and you'll start thinking, I remember a scripture like that. And you may not be able to tell exactly where it is, chapter and verse, but it's in there, right? It's truth. So he'll teach and remind us. What's the next one? We got another. That's one way he helps us. He teaches us and leads us in the truth. And that's one way he helps us be disciples. The next one, he helps us, okay, get ready for this one. He helps you with your tongue. James wrote James chapter 3, not on the screen here, but James chapter 3, a whole chapter just about on the tongue. The tongue. Does the tongue ever get you in trouble? Oh, yeah. Everybody in here has said things you thought, who said that? Did I say that? I wish I hadn't said that. Marriages break up because of the tongue. People lose jobs because of the tongue. Churches split because of the tongue. And James said in James 3, the tongue, nobody has mastered the tongue yet. But with the help of the Spirit, he will take your tongue and use it for good. Watch what he says about this. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. All of them are filled with the Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That's Acts 2, the day of Pentecost. Spirit came on the earth, sound like a mighty, mighty rushing wind, and the tongues came down, fiery tongues came down. They all began to speak. They didn't speak in tongues like churches do today, kind of. They spoke languages. That's what the word tongue means. You could easily translate that. Some translations do. They spoke in other languages. That's what the word in Greek means, languages. So they spoke in other languages. And you read the book of Acts a little further on after that place there in the book of Acts, it talks about how many people heard these men speak under the inspiration of the Spirit they were speaking. And it was, I counted one time, I think it's 17 countries, 17 ethnic groups, languages that were present there because it was the day of Pentecost. It was like, it was the biggest celebration, one of the biggest celebrations of the Jewish year, and people were there from everywhere, all over the world. So they're speaking in languages that these other people know, and they don't even know the language they're speaking. They said all these men are Galileans, in other words, they're country boys. How do they know this? How do they know these languages? And they're speaking. Now, I know you go off in all directions on tongue speaking these days and so forth, but just keep it to what it said. What did it say? They spoke in what? Languages that other people could understand. They didn't expect to understand what they were saying, and they didn't understand what they were saying. They just said it. Will the Holy Spirit use your tongue? That's the main idea. The Holy Spirit came. What's the first thing he did? Got control of their tongue and used the tongues for his purpose, the gospel. Now it's become worldwide. This is not Jesus said, I've only been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but now, no, it goes to everybody. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And in Acts 1, he said, wait here, wait in Jerusalem till you get this power from on high. He didn't send them out to evangelize the world until he fixed them for it. He got them ready for it. They got the equipment they needed to evangelize the pagan world. What equipment did they need? They needed the Holy Spirit, and he led them, and he gave them languages. So will the Holy Spirit work with your tongue? Yes. Yes. It's one of his main jobs. There's another slide here, I believe, on that. Acts 4:31. In Acts 4:31, they had been persecuted some, the church had, And in Acts chapter 4, they prayed not for the persecution to leave, but for God to give them boldness. Acts chapter 4. They prayed for God to give them boldness to speak the words. Acts 4, this is not on the screen, but look at verse 29 if you're in the book of Acts. Acts 4, 29. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Do they have a tongue? They want their tongues used with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal, perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. Sounds like Acts 2, doesn't it? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. But this time they didn't speak in tongues. What did they do? Spoke the word of God boldly. That's what they prayed for. They're trying to kill us already. You know, you said they would do that, Lord, that, you know, they persecute us and they're starting to happen. So they didn't say, make it go away. What do they say? Strengthen us. It's our job to speak boldly. So strengthen us would give us boldness. And then what happened? The Spirit came and filled them again. They'd already been filled one time. Now they're filled again. What are they doing? Speaking boldly. You will be amazed. You're timid. Most people are timid about speaking out for Christ. I know. I understand that. Most people are timid about that. But if you get it on your heart to do it, the Holy Spirit will help you. And you'll start teaching and saying things that you'll think, is that really me? Well, it's you, but the Spirit's helping you. Oh, the secret to the Christian life, the secret to living the Christian life with a happy spirit, with success, with accomplishment, with achieving the goals God has for you, the secret to the whole thing is ask for the Holy Spirit's help. And He'll help you. He'll help you. But there's so much misinformation out there in churches about the Holy Spirit that we need to put our nose in the Bible, don't we? And find out what we're talking about and find out what the Word of God says in context, what it really says. They did what? Spoke the Word of God boldly. So will the Spirit of God help you with your tongue? He'll use your tongue. He'll use your tongue in great ways. The next one, Acts 16. That last one was Acts 4:31. This one's Acts 16. This one amazes me. It fascinates me every time I read it. A lot of this does, but this one, Acts chapter 16. This one, we've already said that the Holy Spirit helps you. He's a spirit of adoption, right? What else did we say? He teaches us, right? He teaches us all things, especially, and He'll help you know the Word of God. What's this one? The tongue. He helps us with using our tongue for God. Using our tongue for God, not for gossip, not for cutting other people up, but He uses your tongue for God. This one is, He guides the mission. Is the Holy Spirit in charge of the mission? Oh, if you read the book of Acts, I've done it, and you highlight every time the Spirit is mentioned, Spirit or Holy Spirit, you get to get through, I think it's about 39 times, I forget, but it's many times. The first time I did that, I thought, He was running the show. He was in charge. Christ is at the right hand. The Spirit came, and Jesus said, I'll go to the Father, I'll pray, He'll send His Spirit. And the Spirit came to them in Acts chapter 2 and said, come on, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do this, we're going to do, yes, sir, they said. Send us wherever we're supposed to be. Well, in Acts, what did I say, 16? Yeah, 16 verse, I'll start at verse 6. I don't know what's on the screen there. It's about verse, 6. Acts 16, verse 6. Paul and his companions travel throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching. Wow. From preaching the word in the province of Asia. Now, why would the Holy Spirit stop them from preaching? Because He knows what He's doing. And He said, not there, not yet. Don't go there yet. Does the Holy Spirit know to keep us out of something we shouldn't be involved in? You think you should go somewhere, do something. I need to talk to so-and-so about Jesus. And the Spirit, if you listen, you ever heard the Spirit, back to the tongue for a minute, have you ever had that thing where you started to say something and you thought, I don't need to say that? Well, the time you listened and obeyed, it worked out fine. But the time you didn't listen, right? You said something, and I wish I hadn't said that. It didn't help. It didn't help. The Spirit said to them, not there. We think we're supposed to go into all the world. We are. But am I capable of going into the whole world and preach the gospel? I can't. I'm not capable of doing that. So you have to listen. Where am I supposed to be and what am I supposed to be doing? And if you listen and you pray, you'll get these little things in your heart that say, yeah, that or no, not that. There's one passage where Acts 15, not on the screen there, but Acts 15, where they were making a big decision about whether they should have people circumcised or not, Gentiles circumcised or not, before they became Christians. And the big council and the elders, I told you that last week, I think, the elders and the apostles met and had this big council meeting in Jerusalem, and they decided, no, they don't have to keep the law of Moses to be Christians. And so they sent out a letter, and in the letter it said, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us not to put any burdens on you that our forefathers were not able to bear. So the letter said it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Oh, don't you want a church where people know what the Holy Spirit wants? This is not creepy stuff. It's not superstition. It's not the world. It is God knows how He made us, and we are spirits. And for our spirit, my body can interact with other people and talk. Our bodies can talk. But when you're talking about talking to God, interacting with God, your spirit wants to interact with God. So the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of God, comes in and He helps you. And He helps you. So in Acts, He said, don't go there. He kept them from preaching. But He didn't just keep them from preaching. He kept them from preaching in the province of Asia because they weren't ready yet. And He wasn't ready. The God, the Father, evidently had told him, not ready for that yet. Verse 7 of Acts 16. Verse 7. And I don't think it's on the screen, is it? But I'll give it to you. Acts 16, verse 7. When they came to the border of Asia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. There again, the Spirit said, not there either. Wow, I heard of a church one time that wanted to do mission work. True story, by the way. A church wanted to do mission work, and so they put a map of the world up, and the elders got together and threw a dart at the map. Wherever it hit, that's where they're going to do mission work. I got a better idea. Ask God where He wants us to go. Twice He said, not there, not there. We're not supposed to go everywhere. We're supposed to go everywhere where God tells us to go, right? One church can't go everywhere. One Christian can't go everywhere at one time. The Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. That's Acts 16, verse 7. Verse 8 says, they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Look it up sometimes on the map in the back of your Bible where Macedonia was. A lot of church names you've heard of. Famous church names you've heard of in the book of Acts. They went to the right place, didn't they? Well, they went to these other places later, evidently, but they went to the right place. Does the Holy Spirit guide our mission? Oh, yeah. Does He guide your mission? You have a mission. You are a minister of the gospel. You say, no, I'm not. I didn't go to school. I don't preach. You are a minister. You've been put into the kingdom of God for just such a time as this. You're here to help people. You're here to minister to people. You're here to help people know Christ. That doesn't mean you have to preach to them. It doesn't mean you have to stand up and teach. What it means is, listen. Get a prayer life. You ever heard somebody say, get a life? Well, I'm saying get a prayer life. And you'll be led. And you'll know. He guides the mission. Romans 5:5 is the next slide, and hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out into our hearts. Romans 5:5. God's love has been what? Poured into you. God's love, not just human love, God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. He's the great gift. Acts 2, you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit when you obey Christ. He's a gift. And He has been given to us for what purpose according to this? God's love has been poured out into my heart, your heart, by the Holy Spirit. But you don't feel very loved sometimes. You're afraid you've disappointed God, and you don't feel very loved by God. But the Holy Spirit's here to help you minister God's love to you. Sometimes when you have a bad day and you have a problem, and when you were a kid especially, and maybe your mom or dad or somebody in your life would just kind of pull you aside and just have a little talk with you, and they would say, "It's okay, you're going to be all right. Let me explain to you. You're going to be okay because we'll help you. We'll help you solve this problem." And, you know, I remember when I was a kid, about, 20 years ago? a long time ago. A missed homework assignment, to me, seemed like the biggest problem in the world. I don't have my homework. I forgot to do that homework. And, oh, I'd worry all the way to school. And, boy, we had some mean teachers, you know, but anyway. No, we didn't. But as somebody would pull me aside and say, "It's okay. We'll make it up. We'll make it up, you know," and you're kind of relieved, aren't you? That's the Holy Spirit's job in your spiritual life. When you don't feel loved by God, what does He do? He comes in and He starts telling you things. I don't mean audible voices or anything. I just mean you start realizing he brings to remembrance everything I've taught you. He will bring it to your remembrance. You're having your little pity party, and all of a sudden a scripture rises up from within you. Jesus said, "My peace I give you." Not the way the world does. "My peace." And it just comes up in you, and you're like, "Okay, I think I can make it now." And other scriptures start coming. That's one of the major ways He works. Is He not the Spirit of truth? Doesn't He teach us? So He teaches you and causes you to remember what God has said to you, and you get your courage back. And you're going about your way doing great things for God. Romans 5:5. Next slide. Romans 8:26. In the same way the Spirit helps us, Romans 8:26, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Well, I need some of that, don't you? I need a little of that help. How does He help me in my weakness? We don't know what we ought to pray for. I thought I'd get an amen on that one, but a lot of times, we don't know what we ought to. We don't know how to pray. We don't know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. What is interceding for you? He's praying for you. Oh, my goodness. You couldn't have a better prayer partner than the Holy Spirit. And when you have a weakness and a problem, He's praying for you. We pray for you. We have a prayer list. We pray for you. But, you know, we get tired sometimes and we miss it. We don't always pray like we should. But this says He intercedes for you with wordless groans. Or I think one version says groans that cannot be uttered. Same idea, right? You won't hear audible voices, and you won't hear Him speaking, and you won't hear, and you yourself are doing some groaning, and He's interceding for you. That same chapter says later that Jesus intercedes for us. So here you go. You got a problem. You got a weakness. And you begin to pray. "Lord, I don't know what to do about this. I got this problem, and it's tearing me up, and I don't know what." What does the Holy Spirit do? He starts praying. Nothing that you really hear, but you're groaning, and is He groaning too? Did Jesus groan sometimes at the people He saw that were so sick? So the Spirit's interceding. He's talking to the Father. The Holy Spirit's talking to the Father on your behalf. I mean, is that Bible? I didn't make that up, did I? Some of this sounds too good to be true till you read it. It's really true. Isn't the Spirit of truth? He wouldn't lie to you. It says here, He intercedes. He starts interceding. Later in chapter 8 of Romans, Jesus intercedes, is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. So you're praying, and the Holy Spirit's praying, and the Spirit starts praying. And what happens? You are praying in the middle of the Godhead. You and God are in a little prayer session. Spirit's praying, you're praying, Jesus is praying at the right hand. Talk about knowing a guy, you know a guy. Talk about people in high places. It doesn't get any higher than that. He's your friend, he's your brother in the highest place there is. The Spirit knows how to engineer your prayer life, but you have to start. He's not going to make you do it. He's not going to do it for you. But he is going to help you, isn't he? He's going to help you do it. What happens when you're weak? You pray. Anybody helping you pray? Mm-hmm. God himself helping you pray. So here's the Father on the throne, and he's hearing the Spirit pray, and Jesus is talking in this ear. And how could God say no? I mean, they have a prayer meeting. The Godhead has a prayer meeting about you and your weakness. God is love. Doesn't the Bible say that? He's not too busy to help you. You're in a prayer session with a Godhead. The next slide, we'll go quickly here. The next slide is a familiar one. Does the Holy Spirit help you pray? Okay, this one helps me. He helps you produce. He produces the fruit. You don't have to. The frustration of the Christian life a lot of times is, I want to do better, and I want to make it happen, and I can't. I try to love people, but they don't love me back. I try to love people, and they lie about me. Fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Joy. A Spirit-oriented church is a place of joy. They don't just like being together. They love each other and they want to help each other. But they just, some of you are that way, aren't you? A lot of you are that way. You get here and it's like, this is where I wanted to be today. That's where I wanted to be today. Why? There's joy. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. How many families need peace? Patience. Maybe the old King James is better, long-suffering. Is that a better way to put it in King James? Patience. What is patience? Endurance. Being able to stand up under trials. Kindness. Is there a lack of kindness in America today? Goodness. Just good old-fashioned good people, right? Just be good people. Faithfulness, or faith is another way to translate. Just faith comes from the Holy Spirit. Gentleness. Do we always have to be hard with people? Oh, the Spirit in you can be gentle. He will cause you to be, he'll help you be gentle. And self-control. We don't need that one, do we? Self-control, okay. I noticed all the donuts in there. We need self-control. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The Spirit helps us. Because he produces the fruit. I don't produce it. I just enjoy it. When you have an apple tree and they give beautiful apples, what produced the apples? Not the farmer, the apple tree. Well, the farmer had to do his job. But that old apple didn't fall off the farmer's elbow. It came out of this tree. The Holy Spirit's the one that's doing all this in you. You don't have to make it happen. Relax. You don't have to make it happen. You can enjoy it and let it happen. You can go to God and say, I need more help from your Spirit, Father, because I need more love. Or I need help from your Spirit, Father, because I lose my patience real quickly. Or I need help from your Spirit, Father, because I tend to talk about people too much and make fun of them and tear them down. And will he help you do that? He'll help you. Last slide. Do the people that are lost, the people who are lost without Christ, like the ones in this notebook, do they need the Spirit of God working? Amen. He is working. But they have to open up, right? They have to open up to the Spirit's work. And we're praying that that will happen. So pray with me. Father, we are grateful for the way your Spirit works in us. We ask for these individuals in this book. They are without hope and without God in the world. We pray that your Spirit will help them understand. Maybe they'll hear some of this. Maybe they'll be somewhere and hear how much you love them, and it'll come into them. It'll stick in them. Thank you for hearing our prayers, Father, about that. Also ones that we know some in there who have fallen away but need to come back to their home, come back to church. We ask for that to happen with them, Father. We are today grateful to you for every good blessing. Thank you for your Spirit. We look forward to many, many good things that you're doing in us. In Christ's name, amen.